Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast. You're about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
We are in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11 to 12. Welcome to Practical Kingdom Living, a series of teachings we have been doing on the book of Proverbs, a book that is credited to King Solomon, and we are a type of Solomon in as much as Solomon is David's son, and then David is the best type of Jesus in the Bible. We are a type of Solomon because we are also the offspring of Jesus. He is the everlasting Father. Hallelujah. And Proverbs is for our practical kingdom living. That is why it is called Proverbs. Proverbs is from two words, pro and verb. A verb is a doing word, and pro means something that is for. Alright, so the book of Proverbs is for our doing or practical life in this world. Hallelujah. And we have been looking at this book for some time. Today we want to look at a very important aspect. I want to subtitle to this session, Relating with God. Practically in the kingdom system, we have to relate with God. But there is a notion of God that we have to get. We have to understand when it comes to the kingdom system of God. You will notice that the Bible says, my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord. This is Proverbs 3:11 now. Nor detest his correction. Detest means to hate. His correction. Don't hate God's correction. Alright? Now, verse 12. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects. And just as a father, the son in whom he delights. So, the Bible makes us to understand that God loves us. And there is a way that God expresses his love towards us. It is important for you to understand that in the kingdom system, we are talking more about God's love for us than our love for God. God's love for us is what triggers our love for God. The Bible says in 1 John 4:19 that we love because he first loved us. Hallelujah. Why do we love? It is because he first loved us. That is how come we can love. So we don't know love except God shows love unto us. And he shows love unto us for an important purpose that we can also show love. The same love that he showed to us unconditionally. You know, he wants us to show the same love to other people. But beyond that, I want you to see that God expresses his love to us in a particular way. The Bible says that, my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord. Chastening is the word that is for training, child's training. You know, if you are a father, you are a parent, a mother, there is a way you train your children. All right? And sometimes the training is so painful to the children. They don't understand why my father or my mother demands that I wake up at this time, that I bath in this way, and I study at this time. You know, sometimes when your parents are telling you, go and pick your books, or maybe an adult is telling you to do something, you feel that, no, that person doesn't like me. Why doesn't he let me just play games? It doesn't mean that you don't play games, but you know there is time for everything. Why doesn't he let me spend more time playing games, more time watching television? You know? But It is because your parents loves you, you know. My parents loved me. Because of that, they disciplined me. Because of that, they trained me. Hallelujah. And the training is not an easy thing. It's very painful. Because whereas you want to do something else, your parents demand that you do another thing. And that thing that they want you to do, it's not pleasant. It's very painful. You know, it's not exciting. It's not fun as it is. But you have to do it. Why do you have to do it? Because it is an expression of your parents' love for you. Hallelujah. Now, that is what the Bible is saying. That in a similar manner, God, who is our Father, God, because He loves us, He expresses His love in a certain way. And the way that He expresses the love, in fact, it's not easy at all. Wonderful. It's not easy at all. You know, it's very painful. Very, very painful. For whom the Lord loves, He corrects. So when God is correcting you and correcting you and correcting you, it is because He loves you. He shows His love through correcting you, just as a parent does to their children. Now, the first thing I want you to note or understand about relating with God is that you have to focus on relationship and not on success. Focus on relationship and not on success. Wow. You know, God Himself focuses on relationship. Because of that, He can sacrifice a certain semblance of success, something that looks like fun, that looks glorious, that looks like success. He can sacrifice it for some time. That is what happens when a parent is training the children. You know, he takes away maybe success from them for some time. He takes away maybe something which is fun from them for some time. And the parent is relating with the children. So sometimes in our practical kingdom living, what happens is that God focuses on relating with us in such a way that we don't seem to have success. But the issue with human beings is that we focus more on success than relationship. So for example, when we are successful in something, we think that then it means that God loves us. But when we are not successful in something, then we think that God has deserted us. God doesn't love us. If we have glory, we have breakthrough, we are inclined to think as humans that God loves me, that is why. But if we try all we can, but we are not able to get the success or the breakthrough, we tend to think as human beings that God doesn't love us. But the Bible tells us that God loves us. He only doesn't focus on success or glory, you know, the way that we do. What He does is that He wants to relate with us. And sometimes in relating with us as a father to a son, we do not get the success and the glory and the fun that we desire. But it is only temporarily. After a while, you will see that the glory and the success will come. Hallelujah. And that is how we also have to do towards God. We have to relate with God more on the basis of relationship than on the basis of results or success. We are so results biased as humans that we look at our results to determine the way that we should relate with God. So somebody gets a wonderful result in his examination, a wonderful result in the workplace, a wonderful result in his ministry, and he feels that, oh wow, how God loves me, and the person commits more to God. But if he doesn't get that wonderful success or result in his life, the person doesn't feel, human as he is, he doesn't feel like getting close to God. He doesn't feel like relating with God. Because of what? Because he's not seeing the result that he desires from his prayer. He's not seeing the result that he thinks that he must get from the way that he is living his life. He thinks that he's living such a wonderful life, such a committed Christian life, that it must result in a wonderful whatever in various aspects of his life. But it doesn't tend to be like that. Perhaps God is taking you through a child training so that in the end you can enjoy all of the results in a way that the result does not weigh upon you, it does not tear you down, it does not leave you. It does not leave you. Because then through the training, you have obtained the underpinnings, you have obtained the support system, you have obtained the character that you need to be able to contain success and not lose the success. Because sometimes when God rushes, allow me to put it that way, and give you the success, because you don't have the mindset, you don't have the right mindset, the right character traits, what happens is that you are not able to maintain and grow the success or the glory the way that God wants you to. And then you lose it. Hallelujah. Now, in relating in the kingdom system, I have shown you that you have to focus on your relate with God. Not on the basis of your results you are getting in your life, not on the basis of success, but on the basis of the fact that he is your father. Whether he is doing something that is not giving you fun or not, he is still your father. Whether he is giving you results from your prayer or not, he is still your father. Hallelujah. And you have to relate with him as such, because that is how he relates with you. God can sacrifice some results to teach you a certain lesson, to prepare you, to train you as a child. Hallelujah. And he doesn't look at you and say that, well, because you are poor, you're a bad reflection of me, and as a result, I don't want to have anything to do with you. God doesn't say, well, because this one has got the glory of riches, he is rich, you know, he's well placed in society, then let me relate with this person. Let me give more to this person, so to speak. Let me reveal myself to this person, so to speak. He doesn't do that. He can relate or reveal himself to you, whether you have got results or not. Whether you are rich or not, you are successful or not, academically you are bright or not, God still relates with you. Hallelujah. And that is what we have to focus on. So, ladies and gentlemen, there are times in life that God withdraws himself from us. He withdraws himself from us. Redraws in inverted commas. That means that he is there, but he is not there. Wow. In practical kingdom living, you will not always feel that God is with you. That your father, you know, loves you in the traditional way we understand people who love us. What people who love us will do. But in practical kingdom living, God sometimes withdraws himself from us. And he leaves us to watch us to see what we will do without him.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and his kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar, and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
Let me explain. If you look at the first kingdom era, when God created Adam and Eve, one of the lessons we get there is that God was not with Adam and Eve all the time. When I say he was not with, it's inverted commas. He was there, but he was not there. You know, God is omnipresent. It means that he's everywhere at the same time. Is that right? Good. But there are times that God reveals himself, or he comes, if you allow for want of a better language, close to you. There are times that he seems to be far away. That is where I'm using the word redraws himself into inverted commas. You will notice in the way that God related with mankind in the Garden of Eden, never forget this, he wasn't with them all the time. God will come, we get the impression, in the cool of the day. So there were periods that God will come close to them. For the rest of the periods, God is far away from them, so to speak. If you look at the people of Israel and the way God related with them, you will see that he chose a day called the Sabbath, one day from the 7 days, you know. And that was the time that God will come close to them, so to speak. Although God is with them all the time, they live and move and have their being in him. But that was the time that he will come very close to them during the Sabbath. Okay, so that is the way that you must understand practical kingdom living. You will not feel that God is with you. You will not sense that God is with you. It may look like God has withdrawn himself from you. And you wonder, does God love me? Why has he withdrawn himself from me? He is training you. Hallelujah. He wants to know what was in your heart. What is in your heart? Now, if you look at the life of Jesus, there were times that God withdrew himself from him. Actually, you remember his temptation. During his temptation, you will think that, oh, at the time that I'm being tempted by the devil, God must be with me. Is that right? God must be with Jesus. But those were times that Jesus didn't feel that God was on his side. Because the Bible says that after the tempter had tempted him in Matthew chapter 4, you remember the three temptations. Afterwards, according to Matthew, angels came and ministered to him. That means that during the temptation, angels were not ministering to him, so to speak. Or angels had deserted him, so to speak. It was as if the kingdom had forsaken him, so to speak. It was after the devil had left him that the Bible says that angels came. Why didn't angels come when the devil was tempting Jesus? Wow! So you see that in practical kingdom living, sometimes at very critical times in your life, where you think that God must be with me, you do not sense God's presence. It's as if God has withdrawn himself. It's as if you are on your own. But that is still practical kingdom living. He loves you. That is why he is training you. Training you. Wonderful. You look at the time that Jesus was in Gethsemane, and you would think that that is the time that God must be with Jesus. That is the time that angels of God must be with Jesus. But the Bible makes us to know, you know, that angels came to minister or to strengthen him after he had gone through a very hectic time with his apostles. Nobody was supporting him. The apostles were sleeping on him. He said, oh, could you not watch with me 1 hour? And then he goes and then he prays, Father, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. And it looks like angels were not with him. Because afterwards, the Bible says that angels came and strengthened him. So where were the angels when the apostles had deserted him? It looked like Jesus was on his own. It looked like God had withdrawn himself. But God was training his son. And if he did it to Jesus, believe me, if he did it to only his only begotten son, he would do it to you. Hallelujah. Wonderful. The toughest of the times we see God withdrawing from Jesus, which we naturally as human beings would think that God should be close to Jesus, was on the cross. On the cross, Jesus felt it so bad that he shouted for the first time in his life. He didn't call God Father. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Hey! You know? So Jesus looked like God is not my father anymore. He looked like God is my God. He didn't feel I'm a son of God. Do you know why he didn't feel like that? Because he had taken our place. We who were disobedient to God, far away from God, he had taken our place. So he felt it, that God had forsaken him. And truly, that is what happened. God forsook him so that he would accept us. Wonderful. So on the cross, when you think that God must be with Jesus, he forsook him. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm teaching you about practical kingdom living. That in practical kingdom living, there is suffering involved. In practical kingdom living, the suffering involved, it comes about when God withdraws himself. And we have to face the music, face the devil in the wilderness, face the devil, so to speak, in Gethsemane. And face the devil on the cross. At times in our lives that we need God most, you see that he withdraws himself. Is it because he doesn't love us? No, not so. It is because he is training us to know what is in our hearts. I want us to look at the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 32. 2 Chronicles chapter 32, and then we'll read from 31. 2 Chronicles 32 and then verse 31. Now, perhaps I need to tell you that we can glean a lot of lessons in practical kingdom living from God's dealings with the kings of Israel. Hallelujah. One of such kings that we are going to read about today is King Hezekiah. King Hezekiah. Now, in 2 Chronicles 32:31, the Bible says, however, regarding the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon, whom they sent to him to inquire about the wonder that was done in the land, God withdrew from him. Underline, God withdrew from Hezekiah in order to test him, that he might know all that was in his heart. Hallelujah. It's powerful. Hezekiah, God was with Hezekiah. If you read verse 30 of the same chapter, you understand that he prospered in his works. He prospered in his works. Is that right? And then, because he prospered in his works, the king of Babylon sent some ambassadors to come to Hezekiah, to come to Israel, and to see the wonders of the land. The Bible says that when those ambassadors came, God withdrew from him in order to test him, that he might know what was in his heart. That is the way God treated that king, that he had prospered. God withdrew from him. He felt that he was alone. But why did God withdraw from him? Because God wanted to know what was in the heart of Hezekiah. In other words, listen very carefully to this point, to this one. You do not know your real self until God withdraws himself. Sometimes we think that when God is with us, we think that that is how we are. That we are so wonderful people. We are so wonderful lovers of God. We are so anointed. We are so whatever. I'm talking about anointed in ourselves, you know. Anointed in ourselves, blessed. I mean, we are so sufficient in ourselves. Until God withdraws from you. When He withdraws from you, that kind of feeling that you get is really your own self. There you can know who you really are. Because sometimes when God's grace is upon your life, you don't know yourself. You think that you are finished. In other words, you are complete. I mean, you are self-sufficient. Until God withdraws from you, then you see that, hey, I can't even trust myself. Then you see that there is no good thing in me. The only good thing in me is Jesus in my heart. So when He withdraws, you don't feel His presence. You don't feel that He is with you. Please, that is the time that your real self is manifest, your real heart. That is the time that God tests us. He trains us and He tests us. I know for some of you who are students, you know that your parents love you. They provide for you. They make you, give you the books, give you maybe provisions, you know, feed you and make life comfortable for you. But a time comes in your life that your parent withdraws himself. Your father withdraws himself and you are alone. That is during the examination period. Everybody withdraws from you. It's you and your paper. Yeah, it is you and your paper alone. Your parents are not there. Even the teachers who love you, who say to you that I want you to make the A's for me or the grade ones for me, they all withdraw from you as if they don't like you. And you are suffering behind the paper. You can't remember some things, but your father looks at you like that. He doesn't mind you. Your teacher looks like you like that. He doesn't mind you. Because they want to know what you are really made of. They want to know. After all the training, they withdraw themselves and they want to know what substance you have got in your head. Whether you can answer the questions or not. Hallelujah. That is what happened. It doesn't mean that your teachers don't love you. They stand by and they are longing in themselves that my son will come up well doing this physics paper, doing this social studies paper, doing maybe this particular examination. But they can't help it. But to just look back and long, they can only long. And you are left alone so that your real self will show. So the paper, afterwards they collect the paper from you and then they know really what is in your head. That is for examination. But for God, He will take the paper and look at what is in your heart. Whether Adam, when I withdraw from you, you are going to eat the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil or not. Because when God is by your side, you won't go and eat that fruit. Yeah, you won't go and eat that fruit. You always take the fruit of the tree of life. But when He withdraws Himself, it's examination time. And He's watching you, whether you will do the right thing or not. If you do not sense the presence of God, are you going to disobey God or you are going to obey God? Are you going to focus on relationship or are you going to focus on glory and results? Hallelujah. When you do not sense that God is with you, are you going to go berserk? In other words, are you going to do your own thing? Because after all, you don't feel that God is on your side. You don't feel that God loves you. So you feel that naturally as a human being, I must do my own thing. After all, God doesn't show anything that He is with me. I don't even sense His presence. Look at me. I am having trouble in my marriage. I'm having trouble in my workplace. And God doesn't even mind me. When I call upon Him, it's like He has forsaken me. And all my disciples, 12 apostles, Jesus in Gethsemane, they have all left me. They are all asleep. Hallelujah. But that is a practical kingdom life for you, ladies and gentlemen, because God withdraws Himself. Look at the book of Job, chapter 23. Job chapter 23 and then verse 8 to 10. Job, I must make you to understand, lived in the period right after the fall of man. Theologians tell us that the book of Job is the oldest book of the Bible. And Job lived after Adam and Eve fell. From Cain and Abel, Job came around. Actually, his name Job in Arabic means to return or to repent. So through Job and the book of Job, God is teaching us to go back to the kingdom system, to return to the kingdom system that man lost. So look at the book of Job, chapter 23, verse 8. Job is speaking and he says, "Look, I go forward, but he is not there." That's God is not there. Right? "And backwards, but I cannot perceive him." Sometimes you can't even perceive God. It's like he has redrawn. Job says that I go forward and look, he is not there. Because of that, he thinks that God will be back. So he said, "Let me go this direction." He go backward and he says, "I cannot even perceive him there." Wow. When he works on the left, or the left hand, I cannot behold him. Says that when he works on the left hand, I cannot behold him. When he turns to the right hand, I cannot see him. You will think that, well, if he's not at the left, then he should be at the opposite, at the right. But both places, God is totally redrawn. Forward he is redrawn, backward he is redrawn, left he is redrawn, right he is redrawn. He is completely redrawn. Thrice redrawn. But he knows the way. Oh, hallelujah. He says, "But he knows the way I take. And when he has tried me," when he has tested me, according to New King James Version, "I shall come forth as gold." Says that God has withdrawn from me. He is teaching us to return to practical kingdom living through this exemplary kingdom man who was rich, the greatest man in the East, and the one who feared God most. I mean, he was a king and he was a priest. He is the shadow of the modern day believer, and the blood of Jesus makes us, the Bible says, Revelations 1, 5 and 6, it has made us kings and priests.
I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.